Thank you, Larry. What a fitting song. What a fitting song for Al Ray, for your family. So I was going to do a fitting message. And I thought, you know what? I need to entitle the message, Cleaning the Clutter Out of the Office. And when I started doing the PowerPoint for that, I decided I probably not ought to do that. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just walk down the hall in the offices and look right. Al Ray, you've affected, Kerry, you've affected many people. And for God's glory. What does it mean to be a member of something? What does it mean to join a team? What does it mean for everyone to be on the same team? What does my membership mean? Does it really have a meaning? Does it really matter that I'm a member of anything? Does it really matter that I belong to something? And if so, what is it? What does that mean? You know, Karen is a member of the Delta Kappa Gamma, which tells me that she is a teacher. Some of you are members of a Rotary Club, which tells me that you have something to do with business. There are some of you that are members of the AARP, which tells me that you have senior citizen status. There are some of you in here that are a member of a hair club, which tells me that you don't have much on top. But have you really ever thought about what it means to be a member in God's church? Have you ever thought about what it means to have a membership in the church of Jesus Christ, in a local body of believers? What does that tell the other believers in the church today? When you are a member of Second Baptist Church Russellville, what are you telling the other people in that place? And today I hope to answer that question. I also hope to challenge you, genuinely challenge you, to remind you of what that church membership actually says about you. Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse 1. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Well, there's a lot of theology just in verse 1. To walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is just one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to be one, hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Now, as you're reading that, there are some words that pop out to you, to me. An example of that would be the word one. You see, the word one and unity come up in that passage over and over again. You see, your membership in this church, your membership in Second Baptist Church, here's what it tells everybody. Your membership at Second Baptist Church tells us that you're a sinner. It tells everybody in this place that you're a sinner, that you know it, that you admit it, that you announce it. You're not happy with it, but you want to live in a better life. But you admit this morning that I am a sinner. In verse 1 of this passage, it says, as a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life that is worthy of the calling that you have received. Paul, on that road to Damascus, remember, he encountered Jesus. And once he did, once he had that encounter, he never had any trouble again admitting that he was a sinner. He was open about it. He knew it. He admitted it. And he announced it even to you and me. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul goes on to remind us that he's not only a sinner, but he's the worst of all sinners. He says in verse 15, 1 Timothy 1, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the very worst. Paul didn't have any trouble admitting who he was. But once Paul had encountered Jesus, he wasn't happy with his lifestyle anymore. He was ready to change once he had encountered Jesus. He was ready to turn his life around. He chose to become a prisoner for the Lord. In other words, he sold out to God. He knew he was a sinner. He admitted he was a sinner, but he wanted to live a better life. He wanted to raise the standard. Listen, if your reason for being a member of Second Baptist Church is because your family has a long history here in this church, then your membership is not going to help you, or it's not going to help the church. If your reason for joining this church is because all of your friends go to this church, then your membership is not going to help you or the church. If your reason for going to this church is because you really dislike the pastor or like him, then your membership is neither going to help you or the unity of this church. But if this is the place that you can openly admit, I am a sinner, if this is the place that you can walk down the aisle and you can fall on your knees and say, God, I need you. If this is that place, then your membership will be good for you, and it will be good for the entire body of Christ. That you admit, you know what? I can't fix myself. I can't do it any longer. I need a church family to help me along the way. If that is your attitude, then your church membership will benefit you and also benefit everyone in this church. And you say, well, why? It is because we will all be looking to know Jesus better, and we will all discover Him together. Yes, joining the church, you know what it says about you? It says that I admit that I'm a sinner just like you are. And I announce it to you. And many of us in this room have walked down the aisle to join a church. And when you walk down the aisle and you shake that pastor's hand, that's what you're saying, right? I admit I'm a sinner. I announce it to you. I announce I can't fix it on my own. I can't do it myself. So I'm joining this congregation as one in unity so that we all may discover together the love of Jesus Christ. Number two, our membership in this church tells us that we're not self-seeking. It tells us that even though you may have strong opinions, you may demand your way. You may be the type of person who runs over others to get exactly what you want, but you are willing to lay all of that aside in order for the good of others. Notice verse 2. It says, be completely humble and gentle. It reminds us to be patient, bearing one another in what? Love. To be patient and gentle, bearing one another in love. I should ask you if the pastor of this church should always get his way because the people are afraid to buck him because he might get up and leave. And the answer to that is no. If that's the case, then this church is all about the pastor. What about the heavy giver, the one that gives everything, and the church is afraid that the purse strings will be cut if they don't get their way? Should they always get their way? The answer is no, because then the church becomes about that person. What about the person that works on every committee and fixes the roof and does everything asked, and that person gets upset? Should they get anything they want? The answer is no, because then that church becomes about that person. This church is not about a person except Christ. This church is centered around Jesus Christ. And we don't just get our way afraid that we'll lose somebody and then we'll have a bunch of holes in our ministry. because church becomes about that. If the reason you're a member of this church today is because of some self-seeking reason, then listen, this church cannot help you. If you are here today to fill some agenda, then this church cannot help you. But if you're a member here because you're willing to lay aside all of your self-interest for the good of the church, to lay aside all of my selfish things for the good and the glory of Jesus Christ, then this church can help you and you can help the church. You see, we have to be completely, the Bible says, completely humble and completely gentle. You say, well, how much self-serving do I need to give up to be completely humble? All of it. 100% of it. Church is no place for people who are self-serving. You'd show me a membership and show me a team, which to me is the same thing, right? We're all on the team for Christ. Show me a membership or a team that is self-serving, and I'll show you a membership or a team that's losing the battle. Because we must get over the hurdle in our own individual lives. Are you listening? That it, Steve? I'm not trying to point you out, but I can pick on Steve. But Steve, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but this is not about you, is it? It's not. Karen, unfortunately, baby, it's not about you. And we have to come into our lives and understand that Second Baptist Church, Bob, it does not revolve around you, buddy. Amen. Amen. And for some of us, that's difficult. But we have to understand that we have to remove ourselves from being self-serving with an agenda. It's what God wants to do. It's what Christ wants to do. It's what He desires to do for the very life of our church. Third, your membership in this church tells us that you are like-minded with other folks in this church. That you could have joined another fellowship, but you chose to join here. You could have joined somewhere that had a different temperament and a different mindset, but instead, you chose to walk together with those at Second Baptist Church. You chose to do that. So we know that you got our back, right? We know that we have each other's back. We know that we're praying for each other and we're lifting each other up and we're gathering around God's altar and we're praying together. That's what we should know, right? That's why we're together. That's why we have membership. Notice verse 3 and 4. It says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through what? The bond of peace. There's only one body, and there's only one Spirit. In the book of Amos, chapter 3 and verse 3, the Bible says, two walk together unless they agree to do so. And we've agreed that we're on this team together. That we're here this morning. So that reminds me that something is very wrong in our team, in our membership, if someone's spreading gospel in the church about somebody else. If somebody's talking about somebody else, there's something wrong with our group of people. There's something wrong with our group of people when negative things go out on Facebook about our congregation, about our people. There's something wrong if you are always the dissenting vote in a business meeting. And you're always the one trying to bring dissension. There's something wrong with that. That the church wants to do something. There's something wrong with the church if there's always an undercurrent in the church that keeps everything on an uproar. There's something wrong with that. You see, we have willingly agreed to walk together. That doesn't mean it's easy. That doesn't mean we don't have different personalities. We come from different backgrounds. But once we have unity, then we have to keep it, maintain it, identify it. Why? Because God's asked us very simply, we need to have unity in the church. We all need to be on the same team. We all need to be on the same page. So we do that because God's asked us to do it. He's asked us to keep unity in the church. And if the church has unity, then we know that we have each other's back. And we know that it doesn't matter what's going on in your life, that I'm right there for you. I can count on you, and you can count on me. How nice is it to know that you can pick up the phone or you can walk across the aisle and you know immediately you can trust that person, they have your back, they're in prayer for you, they're loving on you? Praise the Lord, that's why we're here. It should not be that we decide to do something as a church and then we have to beg you to help us. You're on our team. So you ought to be scraping at the door. Hey, what is the team doing? I'm on the team. How can I help? What are we doing? It shouldn't be I walk up saying, hey, we need you to help us. Your motivation shouldn't be because I make you feel guilty. That shouldn't be your motivation. Your motivation's you're on the team. I'm on God's team. Think about it. One of the most destructive things that can happen in the life of a church and to the church's witness in the community is to have disunity. The non-believers said to themselves, why in the world would I want to have anything to do with them? Look how those people act. Look at their spirit. Why in the world would I even consider the God they serve? They don't even like each other. They can't get along in their own church. Why in the world would I want to be on that team? Why do I would want anything to do with that God? That God can't even keep that team aligned and united. Fourthly, your membership in the church tells us that you're following Jesus. Notice verse 4 again. There's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Love God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. If you're a member of this church because you're a good person and you think these people around you are pretty good folks, then you're wrong. You may not be willing to admit it this morning, but these people in here, we're sinners. And as Paul said, I'll say I'm probably the worst. But that's who we are. And you would find people in here would say, I'm a sinner and I need Jesus. I need Jesus in my life. And if you're a member of this church because you think Jesus is one of the ways to get to heaven, you're wrong. He's the only way to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way. He is the only way. And you and I won't have anything in common if you think he's just one of the ways, because Jesus in the Bible teaches he is the only way to get to heaven. The question we need to ask ourselves is, as a church, as a team, does everything we do as this team, does it focus around Jesus? Everything. From everything we pass out in the food pantry to VBS to Sunday school, does everything focus around Jesus? Is he the common thread that everything is revolved around? Your membership in this church tells us that you are following Jesus. You are a Jesus follower. And I told you I would issue you some sort of challenge this morning to be genuine. But if you would admit if we are all sinners, and that we're not self-seeking, and we are like-minded, and we have common threads of Jesus Christ in our lives, then church should be the most liberating place this side of heaven. This church should not be like little Indian soldiers that are stiff as boards and you can't move or breathe. It should be liberating. That means that I'm not afraid for people to learn who I am. I'm not afraid to let people know I'm a sinner. I have things in my life that are not good. I have problems. I'm not afraid for you to know that. I'm not afraid that you're not going to accept me. Why? Because I find that Jesus accepts me just as I am, and the church is an extension of Jesus. So you're not going to be judgmental. Church should be the most accepting place on this earth. Why? Because we're sinners. And listen, before I was saved, I was going to hell just like everybody else in this world that does not have Christ. Just like the Muslims. Same thing. They're not saved, so their eternal destination is what it is. But I was no better than they were until I accepted Jesus Christ. Church should be the most accepting place on this earth, and I find that acceptance because Jesus has accepted me. And I love that freedom where I can be loved and I can be accepted. And that can only happen when I know I'm a sinner. And that can only happen when I'm not self-seeking. And that can only happen when I'm like-minded with you. And that can only happen when we have these common things in our life, that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He is the Lord of Lords. And we are sinners and we're not self-seeking. We just love each other and we take each other for who we are. And we accept our differences and our faults because we all fall short of the glory of God. And we meet at the altar and we hold hands and we pray together. Praise God. That's church. That's what being on a team is. Being on a team is not showing up on Sunday morning and listening to some guy preach. And unfortunately, we have a lot of people that do that. They're not on the team. Being on the team is, how can I affect our community for Jesus Christ? What is it I can do? Where do I fit in the plan? Where is it I can help? I just don't feel the pew on Sunday morning. We get together on Sunday morning, we hear a sermon, we say amen, we go eat lunch, and we wait till next week. Would you consider yourself on the team? Membership of a church, being on the team of Jesus, is more than filling a spot on the roster. And too many folks are just filling a spot on the roster. So I encourage you this morning. If you're a member of this team, that means you've accepted Christ and you admit you're a sinner. And you're a member of Second Baptist Church. That you would commit this morning to not just fill a roster, but you would commit this morning to being on the team. Fulfilling your place on the team. If you're not a member here, then I encourage you to walk down the aisle this morning and say, I'm a sinner, and I want to be like-minded, and I want to fill my spot on this team. What would your membership in and of itself, individually, what would it tell the people around you? What would they see? What would they say? You just a roster guy? You're a cheerleader? What are you? Are you really on the team? Father God, thank you this morning. Thank you for the words of Paul. Father, thank you this morning that we are called to be humble and gentle. Father, unselfish. Father, to admit, to announce, to acknowledge that we are sinners and we need you. And Father, it's in that like-mindedness that we come together and we join together this morning and we meet in this place in that like-mindedness saying, Lord, we are sinners. But because of that, we have in common thread. Because you are the only one that can forgive us with your grace and your mercy. And Father, I pray this morning that we as Second Baptist Church would commit to our place on the team, whatever that is. Father, that those that maybe are not members would commit to that this morning and understand what that means to be a member of a church. And Father, what we will do is give you the honor and the glory. It's not about us. Father, we thank you in advance for the things that you're going to do in our lives this week that we don't even know about. We thank you in advance for the blessings that you're going to bestow upon our people, your people, that we don't even know anything about. And Father, our prayer would be that we would not walk through those without giving glory to you. Father, take this time this morning, this invitation. And Father, if you have convicted a heart, Father, may that person respond and be unashamed and not be worried about what somebody thinks. Father, if there's someone here that does not know Jesus, has not accepted Jesus, the message of salvation was presented this morning in song. Father, may that person come down and make the grandest decision of their life. Father, we lift these things to you. We ask you to take this time. It's in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me this morning?